She Did It Her Way podcast, episode 189, part one of a six-part series, The Journey of Quitting Your Job and Landing on Your Own Two Feet.
Welcome to the She Did It Her Way podcast, a collective of interviews with top female entrepreneurs from around the globe who have done it their way. These women are disruptors, savvy, courageous, confident, innovative, decisive, unconventional, and humble. Our ladies have proven business models, have taken risks, and have failed only for success to follow. Join us as they share their stories, behaviors, habits, mindset, thought processes, and what it is like to be a woman who means business. And now, here's your host, Amanda Bolin.
Hey friends, today's podcast episode is sponsored by Acuity Scheduling. And with Acuity Scheduling, you can quickly view your real-time availability and self-book your own appointments, and people and your clients can pay online, reschedule with a click, and eliminate 100% of the drudgery, which I am a massive fan of Acuity, and I use them for my meetings and for my She Did It Her Way interviews. And it's a great way to be able to collect, schedule information super easy, eliminates hassle for me, and I also am able to collect documents through the scheduling tool as well. For more information about Acuity, head on over to shedidherwaypodcast.com for this specific podcast episode and click the link on there to start your 14-day free trial. Hey, She Did It Her Way listeners. Welcome back for another episode of the She Did It Her Way podcast. I'm so excited for the next 6 weeks, if you can't tell in my voice already. 6 weeks. Oh my gosh. I mean, 6 episodes. Wow. Woo. I'm so excited that sometimes I lose track. For the next 6 episodes, as it is a 6-part series in honor of the She Did It Her Way Summit. If you guys haven't heard me talk about it, I know I did a solo cast a few weeks ago walking you through exactly what you can expect from the summit. And by next Monday, which is September 11th, oh my gosh, okay, yes, very much Memorial Day, but also September 11th is when all the information will be on the website, shedidherwaypodcast.com/summit. So right now we have high level. I've put all the information up there just to give you guys some background, more so at a glance. And next Monday, I will be releasing the exact agenda, sharing with you guys all of the amazing speakers and specific topics that we will be covering, along with the coaches who you will have an opportunity to interact, women who have built businesses, and you get one-on-one time or in a group intimate, let's say, roughly about 6 to 8 people in a group so that your questions are asked. And I'm so excited. I cannot wait for you guys to see the full lineup. So today's solo cast is all about the journey of quitting your job and landing on your own two feet. It is a scary thing. It can be a scary thing. It can also be a very liberating thing to start your business and then go and quit your job and land on your own two feet and do it in a way where you feel confident. There's always going to be some sort of fear and doubt anytime you do something major with your life. There is a lot of talk and people around you that will, I'm sure, out of love, and also there is a chance out of people's own fears that will convince you or try to convince you and talk you out of starting your own business because it's scary. What are you doing? Everything, there's such an unknown. So over the next 6 episodes, I will be covering what I like to call the lead up, the leap, and the land phases of starting your own company, but also going into things that I've learned along the way on how to scale your business, how to create flow and focus in your business. Again, whether you're doing this as a side hustle and you ultimately desire to take it full time, or you want to continue working your full time job and stay in side hustle. Also, 5 things you must do before quitting your job to make it so that your land is what I like to call it, the most successful. 10 ways, again, to scale your business faster. What to expect when you quit your job, and then also what to do when you want to start a company or a business, but you're not sure A, where to start, or also B, what to start. We know that it's that feeling of something inside of you is pulling you and you know that you want to start something or you want to create something, but you're just not sure exactly what it is. Or you might be on the other side and you have all these ideas that you don't know where to start. Also, at the end of every solo cast for the next 6 episodes, because they'll all be solo cast, I am attaching I did mini interviews with some of the women who are speaking at the summit, so you can get to know them a little bit better, and they are actually going to share some of the things that they'll be talking about at the summit as well. So make sure you guys stay tuned after each solo cast for the next 6 episodes, because there will be about a 10, maybe 15 minute chat with the women who are speaking at the event. Okay, so if you've been tuning into the podcast for some time now, you know that I call this methodology the lead up, the leap, and the land. More like actually phases, right? So anytime we're thinking about quitting our job, or even if we want to start a company, there's always a lead up phase, and then quitting our job is the leap, and then landing is being fully immersed into entrepreneurship. So let's take some time and dive into the lead up phase. So what is it? And the lead up phase is made up of 3 mini phases. And this phase includes everything from your first inkling that something maybe is off, or the desire to create, or you question if there is more out there to your life. And it might be the first inspiration of wanting to start a business and actually putting a plan in place to quit your job, to setting that intention. And I know for me, I graduated college in 2010. I took a job as an executive team leader in Target stores in West Des Moines, Iowa. And I knew immediately and ultimately that was not the end game for me. I did not see myself in a corporate environment long term. I never had the vision of going into an office and being dressed up in heels, or let alone in red and khaki for my entire life, which actually, red and khaki, I used to get my khakis. I would go and buy khakis on bulk because I would wear them every single day along with red. And to this day, I don't think I have any khaki in my closet, but that's not because of Target days. I just happen to not have khaki. Anyway, I digress. But I worked at Target for a year, technically 13 months. And it was a really riveting job, especially 22 years old, out of college. There's a lot of responsibility. I was running a $60 million volume store. I ran the ready-to-wear department. So I saw all the women's clothes, men's, babies, boys, girls, shoes, jewelry. And then I was in charge of all the team leaders under me who were in charge of executing and running the departments. And it was actually kind of like knowing your own business, because we were challenged with knowing exactly our sales, our profit margins, executing on time. We had to know our area, but then on days when we were the LOD, the leader on duty, then we were in charge of running the entire store operation and knowing the top 3 wins and then the 3 opportunities, knowing our numbers, where did we par or fare from last year, what's our profit compared to last year. And then we also had the luxury of maybe potentially having a VP or director pop in our store unannounced, in which then they grab the leader on duty and you give them a walk through the store. And at that point, you just have to make sure that your business is running and the operations are running up to that standard. So during my time though at Target, it was a very intense time. I learned how to performance manage people twice my age and learn how to document and then also coach and develop people, which that experience had led me to the desire to want to work with people on specifically coaching and behavior movement and change within organizations, and how do you create culture. And that really inspired the next step that I took after Target. But making the decision to leave Target wasn't easy. It took time. It was a good 6 months. It was 6 months into when I decided that I was like, nope, this is not for me. I would go into work before the sun came up and I would leave work after the sun went down. So some days I would never even see or step outside and see the sun or get vitamin D. And it was an experience that I remember standing at the front of the store, and it was a weekend, it was Sunday morning, it was chaos. And I just remember thinking, like, is this what life is made of. Like, you go to school, you take out your student loans to get education, and then you work a job that you constantly have one foot on the dock and one foot on the boat, that you're telling yourself, okay, well, today was a good day or tomorrow's a bad day, or then better yet, you justify you being there based on your income that you're making and not actually the work that you're doing. And I had seen myself get a little bit into that because I had the opportunity and I was fortunate. It was a good salary right out of college. And then within the first 9 months, I had a significant pay increase based on my performance. And even while at that time, yes, the money was great, it started to come to a place that it was draining, energetically draining. I remember being so tired all the time. I didn't have a desire to do anything else, maybe except that I would call up my girlfriend who also worked in a store, at a different store in the same area, and want to go out and have a drink. And then it was just the same routine of, you know, having a few casual drinks and going home and going to bed, or then waking up and working out. And it was just in this Groundhog's Day. And I knew at that time that that was not sustainable and it wasn't what lit me up. And when I finally made the decision, and one of someone in my circle had said to me, you know, Amanda, when you start having more bad days than good days, then it might be time to move on. And I know, like, sometimes when you're in this situation, and it's almost like you're in this silo, because it's so hard to think outside of the silo, and you think that everything that you're going through is just so close to your face that you forget to take perspective or get perspective. And that was the case with me. I had forgotten to take a step back and get perspective in whatever phase that was. And again, I've talked about a mentor of mine at the time who was living the life that he had designed and he had loved, and things that I had desired about my life, about how to having freedom, flexibility, and to, you know, building my own life and living it and being able to work out or go to a coffee shop and not feel the pressures of it's, well, you still have pressures when you're an entrepreneur, don't get me wrong, but it's a different pressure, and it's something different when you're working for yourself than if you're working for someone else. And it can be consuming. And even you go through, at the time when I had made the decision and I told some of my coworkers who are still my best friends today, it was a little like, are you sure you want to do this? You're on the high potential plan. Like, had I stayed another year and a half, 2 years to finish out my first rotation and then do another 18-month stint, I was on a path to have my own store. And at that point, you get profit share, you get a six-figure salary and all those things. But at that time, I'm like, it's just, I know that I have the potential and the strength to create, and I can do my own thing. And if I stay where I'm at right now, it's a very safe bet. And it just, that didn't do it for me. So when I had finally made the decision to seek out something else aside from being at Target at that time, that's when the opportunities started showing up. And through my network, I ended up taking a job at Wells Fargo as an HR recruiter through a third-party agency. And this is what I call a bridge job. I've written about it in blog posts, and I've also talked about it, meaning the bridge job just helps you get from point A to point B. And so actually, some people think that when I quit my job, when I quit Wells Fargo, that was a scary moment. But really, going from Target to Wells Fargo was scary, because Target to Wells Fargo, I took a pay cut. I didn't have any PTO. I left my benefits. I didn't have any retirement unless I contributed to a specific retirement plan at that time. And so, and the role with Wells Fargo was, it wasn't a guarantee. I could have walked in and then 2 weeks later they could have said, oh, we don't need you, the interim positions we don't need anymore. And so that was really taking that risk. But at the same time, it was so rewarding because I literally got 20 hours back to my life. I was working 40 hours versus the 60 hours that I was working at Target. And while I took a pay cut, I then picked up a job working at a local gym so then I could get a free gym membership. And then it was an amazing opportunity to be able to read at the desk and to get to know other people in the community and then also network as well. And at that point, of 8 months into that role, I had the opportunity to step out and work on a call center sales training project with AT&T. And then that was the beginning of the stepping out into the entrepreneurship phase. So when I look at the lead up phase, everyone's lead up phase is different. It could be, the timing's different, what it looks like is different. The biggest thing is it has to be what you are comfortable with to an extent. And I say that because life isn't always comfortable. And so sometimes in order to get the reward, get the result that you're looking for, you have to step outside of your comfort zone. And so this is about you quitting your job to take your company full time. And again, it could actually, you could actually start your company while you're in the lead up phase. And then from my experience, again, between myself and people that I've worked with, this phase can go from 3 months to 18 months. Everyone's lead up phase is different. And going back to the bridge job, Target was a really energetically exhausting position. It was very rewarding. I knew every day that I stepped foot into Target, I was growing, whether I was being challenged with a difficult conversation, whether I had to increase sales, whether I had to increase profitability within my work center, I was always being challenged, and I really enjoyed and loved that. Well, at the same time, it left me drained, so that when I'd leave work and I'd go work out and I'd come home and I'd make food, it would already be 8:30. And I'd have to be back into the store by 6 a.m. And I just physically didn't have the energy to do that. So when I took my bridge job and I worked at Wells Fargo, I got more time back on my hands. And it gave me the opportunity to spend more time reading, to spend more time networking, to spend more time working on other projects and getting familiar with other things that are out there, listening to podcasts. And so maybe you might find yourself in this position that you want to start your company, but you don't have enough time. So but you want to keep the cash flow and the income coming in every month, then maybe might be worth looking at a quote unquote bridge job, or a job that will give you back more time and allow you to work and commit to working on your business so that you can get it to a place similar to Britt Kolo in a previous interview that I did with her about how she quit her job within 90 days and she had built a plan in order to do that. And so during the lead up phase is a time for you to take advantage of getting to know mentors, take advantage, being really disciplined with your time to set parameters and to be able to explore what it is that you ultimately want to do or build. And so that you can get yourself to a place where you're more comfortable quitting your job and taking that leap than going in blind. There's a difference between being risky and there's a difference between taking a calculated risk. And so whatever that is for you, figuring that out, is it a certain level of income? Is it a certain amount of systems that you want in your business that's built, or a minimum viable product, or maybe you want your website built, or you want your first client. After you get your first client, you've validated your business and then you feel more comfortable. Whatever it is, the lead up phase is a time for you to take advantage of the luxury of still having an income and then pushing yourself so that even though at the end of every day you might come home and you're tired, you have to remind yourself why you need to continue working on your business because of where you ultimately want to go in the future, because of the vision that you set for yourself and how you want to live your life. And so again, it is a time for you, the lead up phase is time for you to prepare, time to take advantage of your steady income. Could be a time of quote unquote sacrifice. And really it's how you want to look at it. It might not necessarily be sacrifice because you're putting in time and energy and effort right now. And you may be saying no to things like happy hours, or you might be saying no to social events because you need to focus on that business and that dream that you want to build. And I will tell you, entrepreneurship does not come, it does not come without labor, and it does not come without making tough choices. But as you move through especially with me, what I used to think used to be tough choices are now no-brainers. And I'm like, of course, I'm going to continue choosing this for my business, versus in the beginning, it can be difficult because if you're not surrounded by the right people, and majority of the people that you surround yourself with maybe aren't entrepreneurs or don't have that dream as you do, might find it foreign and don't really understand it. And so when you're around people who don't understand your vision, it can be difficult because your energy and momentum is matched with maybe 10 times of someone else's energy and momentum because your tribe isn't necessarily aligned with you. And so that might be an opportunity to start seeking out other groups of people in your community that have the same vision of you as well. And so again, the lead up phase is time for you to identify what's important to you and what you ultimately want out of your life and business. Time to make a plan and set intentions. So again, it also includes the bridge job, which I talked about in a previous blog post. And so once you have you're in the lead up phase and you're getting ready to quit your job because you've gotten your business in a position where you now are like, okay, it is time. So the leap is the act of once you've already made the decision to quit your job and the time has come for you to separate from your employer. Separate. It sounds so transactional. My goodness. But you take action, and this is a whole other topic conversation of the leap because it can be a bittersweet thing. I remember actually when I left Target, I was really sad and upset because I worked with such amazing people that I loved going in and I see every day. That made me laugh, that made me grow. And it was difficult because that was a really hard thing for me to let go, was that community, and I enjoyed it. And then when I got to Wells Fargo, it was still the same thing. Like, it was sad for me to go, but it had gotten easier because I'd already did it once when it came to Target. And there is chance to always leave on good terms. When I left Target, I left on good terms and was told that, you know, if you ever want to come back, you know, connect with us and figure out if what you're going to next doesn't work out, we'd love to have you back. And so there's always that option of knowing you can figure it out and go back. And there's great ways to lead your company and take that leap. And it can be on really, really good terms. So it can be a scary time, a time of relief, a time of clarity, exhilarating. It can be all over the board. And we'll dive into different ways about the leap and how to take a successful leap as well. And the important thing is to keep looking forward. And this can be a time of doubting yourself and asking yourself, like, can I really do this? And Tim Ferriss is really big on knowing that there's no time is a perfect time. And some you just have to ultimately get yourself into a position and just take that leap because the stars don't necessarily always align. And it goes back to taking a calculated risk over just being risky. And the last is the land. When you're 100% on your own and a business owner, and which I'm a firm believer that with fear, we have fear. Fear is a perception because of the unknown things that we don't know that are going on. And so if we can bring into awareness and educate ourselves of the unknown and the things that happen when you become an entrepreneur, then it doesn't come off or it's not perceived as scary as it is. And so the land is really taking action and implementing all the things that you prepare for yourself in the lead up phase. So friends, ladies and gentlemen, this concludes the part one of the part six solo cast series leading up for the summit. And up next we have Shauna Van Bogart, who is one of our speakers at the summit. And I cannot wait for you guys to learn more about Shauna. She's been in my life for a handful of years and we immediately clicked, maybe because we're both University of Iowa alumni, but we actually didn't know each other when we went to school at the same time. And it has been amazing getting to know her. She has helped me in my business and create such clarity. And I'm excited for you guys to learn more about her. And then if you come to the event and meet her, it is just absolutely incredible. So stay tuned to hear and learn more about Shauna Van Bogart. Yay! I am so excited to be sitting with Shauna Van Bogart. I had to get that in there. I don't know why I was so deliberate on that. But like I shared with you guys, leading up to the She Did It Her Way Summit, I'm going to welcome on the speakers at the summit just so you guys can get to know them a little bit better. And we're just going to have a chat about some of the things that they'll be highlighting and speaking about and their expertise as well. So Shauna, this is not your first rodeo on the podcast. You were actually our very first guest 2.5 years ago.
I feel so proud of that. Whenever I mention your podcast, I'm like, and I was number one.
You're like, I'm number one, man.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, so tell us a little bit because your journey has changed since the first podcast episode. So catch us up to speed, high level, and then I'll set the stage as to why I asked you to speak and the value that you bring for the summit.
Gotcha. Okay. So 50% of my time, I would say, is dedicated to my primary bread and butter business, which is the Studio for Image Professionals. So we are an educational portal for a really niche career industry, that industry being image consulting. So if you were looking to break into that industry, and I won't explain what image consulting is for our time's sake here, but you would come and you would get certified through us. And so we've certified individuals. It's entirely online. And then we've certified individuals in nearly 30 countries now. And then the other 50% of my time, when I'm not doing the studio for image professionals, I've sort of circled back around and re-entered into coaching. And so my kind of sweet spot, as I like to call it, is working with service providers, specifically anyone selling their expertise or their professional services, who are trading their hours for dollars and are looking for a way to either scale, or they're kind of overwhelmed with where they're at, or they've been in business for a few years and they're kind of hitting that plateau and they're feeling like maybe they've outgrown the previous and the current model of their business and it's time for something different. So I really, really enjoy working with those service providers and figuring out, you know, what exactly is it that their gift is to bring to the world? How has it evolved over the years? And what is that very next step for them?
Yeah. And I know, like, one of the things that you really helped me too is fleshing and having this conversation, open, honest, and genuine, authentic conversation. That's a lot of words, but they all fit. conversation mm-hmm. about she did it her way. And I've just always respected you as a business owner because you're always willing to pivot and continue moving towards your own alignment and knowing the success that you've had just in your own business world and coaching ever since you decided to accept and bring in this newfound business that you're now doing. It's amazing to see that.
Well, I appreciate that. I mean, I think it's a lot about, and we'll talk about this at the summit, always tapping into your why. And that's not new. That's not my thing. You know, that we've heard this through Simon Sinek and various other channels, but it's very, very easy for an entrepreneur to very quickly get off the path of starting and growing their business from a place of why to starting and growing their business from a place of how. And then that's where things really kind of the train gets off the tracks. And so, you know, for me, as I like to say, and you've probably heard me say in other interviews and whatnot, it's all about kind of getting out of one vehicle and getting in another. But that underlying theme of what is it that you want to bring to the world, typically what I see with the types of entrepreneurs I'm working with has stayed the same over the years. It's just, again, maybe where you're at right now, the fact that it's not working or it's you're having friction with it is that you're wearing a business a size too small at this point. And it's time to take off those clothes and put on different clothes. And so it's really, I mean, it's all about self-awareness and kind of checking in with where you're at. And, you know, to your mantra and platform, it's really about doing it your own way and not getting sucked into the shoulds and the Facebook ads targeted to you about how it should go and what it should look like. And know that there is a very unique path for you that could look entirely different from what you've been trying in the past.
Mm-hmm. I know. And I'm like writing things down too, just so I don't forget to bring these up because again, like what I appreciated when we went through the session was, you know, this, like, again, the summit is for people who have a business idea and they want to launch it and they just want to learn the steps to launch it, or it is people within the first year. And I look back to my first year in business and I'm like, what the heck was I doing? Like, I made so many mistakes and I still make mistakes and we learn from them, but we're making different mistakes and hopefully like smaller mistakes or whatever have you. But I just look back and I'm like, wow, if I would have asked myself those questions that you asked me during our session sooner, I wonder like how much further along would She Did It Her Way or the business be? And it really helped provide clear focus about the next steps and you even walking through the customer journey and understanding, you know, what's the pivotal point and at what stage do people find She Did It Her Way, and then what content do you put out there to help find it? And you do it in this very, again, like authentic way. It's not this salesy pitch or anything. Like, I know you, mm-hmm. I know your heart. I know what type of business owner you are and like what you believe in. Share with us then some of the things, you know, you mentioned. Actually, I don't know if you mentioned it, but I know you say it a lot when we talk, and I'm maybe I'm making it up, but it's the sweet spot of it. And
yep.
Going back to that again, like you helped me identify like, okay, Amanda, it's time for you to get out from behind the computer. Like, what does that look like? Because that's what lights you up. And that is what helps you. It's a pivot, or it's not a pivot in the business per se, but it's more of it's the next step. So talk to us then, like, what is a sweet spot? Why is it important?
Yeah, so your sweet spot is kind of your unique blueprint. It's really your bullseye for where and how you should be operating, or why, where, and how you should be operating your business. So it really combines your zone of genius sort of being those top skill sets, those innate skill sets with your passion, and then taking the zone of genius, combining it with your ideal, what I call ideal audience. So somewhat of a targeted audience, but who are the ideal customers that you really want to be attracting, not selling to, but attracting. And when you can align, like juxtapose those two things, zone of genius with kind of establishing upfront, which we'll talk about at the summit, what does that ideal audience look like for me? Who do I ideally want to work with? Because those are the people that you're going to A, provide the most value to, and B, are going to admire the value so much that they're going to be so happy to refer you endlessly. And so when you juxtapose those two things, that is the sweet spot. And so what this really all boils down to, and there is a framework around this that we'll go into, but ultimately I'm wanting to take you from a place of doing good work to a place of doing outstanding work. And while good work doesn't sound bad, the problem is wearing so many hats as a business owner and entrepreneur, especially in the first year, a lot of our time, but more importantly, our energy is spread across 100 things. And really the work that we're delivering to our clients then settles for good instead of outstanding, because we simply don't have that time and energy. And so the difference between good and outstanding work is outstanding work will sell itself. So then you eliminate 80% of all of those time, money, and energy drains, because you don't have to be doing as much marketing on your plate, and you personally don't have to be out there selling, and you personally don't have to be, you know, traditionally networking or whatever it is. And I'm not saying you shouldn't do those things, but whatever that blueprint looks like for you, you eliminate those drains in that very unique way. So the sweet spot is crucially important for that very specific reason.
Mm-hmm. And I know when you were talking too about getting, especially in the beginning of a business owner, it's so easy to get distracted, or even mm-hmm. before you've even launched a business, we have all these ideas, and it's just the curse of a really creative business person, yeah. right? Like, we get creative, we get these ideas, and we get excited about them. And I know that feeling so well, which Shauna, you know that. And through the years of discipline, I do believe I have definitely improved that, but still it's, in the early stages, like you said, you're doing so many things that sometimes you put your head down and you just stop. Like, you're moving, but then we forget to take a look up and say, oh my gosh, like, okay, I moved, but now where am I? Am I where I wanted to be? Am I where
exactly.
I need to be? Like, yeah.
Yeah. It's like you're in the map, you know, you're in it. You're not looking down on the map to know from a bird's eye view where it is that you're going, and you're just in it. And you look up and, like you said, you're like, how did I even get here? And that is a byproduct on focusing too much on the how and deviating away from your why. And ultimately the why is the reason, the purpose you're going into business, the purpose for starting your business. That why should somehow equate with being so obsessed with solving some sort of problem for your customers. Like, you should be so obsessed with the resolution your business exists for. That's your why. And that passion, like I said, combined with your innate skill sets and your ideal consumer, is that sweet spot. And so when you can constantly check in with yourself and sort of pull yourself out of your business, look at it from a bird's eye view, you can ensure that you're staying in that zone, that bullseye zone of your sweet spot. And that's the easiest way to market. It's the easiest way to sell. Your customers can pick up on it. They can feel that energy. They can feel that this is authentic, and it does. It's like a magnet, and you attract like crazy. You attract all kinds of not just revenue, but just the abundance of good relationships, good collaborations, keeping your momentum high, your health, your wellness high, all of those things. So it's a really amazing, fairly obvious yet very hard to implement sort of framework that we're walking through.
Mm-hmm. I hearing that just makes me so excited. I'm like, can this summit be here in 2 weeks?
I know.
Well, no, not really, because that would be a lot of planning. And
you have a lot to do.
Time.
Yeah. My mom said you should never ever wish time away.
No, and I don't. I'm so thankful for the time now. Why don't we – I have two last questions for you. One is, what is a question that you can leave with the audience to think about in their business, whether they have a business or is something that they – if they're looking to take the leap, something that is universal?
Okay, can I give you two?
Yeah.
And this would be good preparation for those of you that are coming to the summit, which should be practically everyone listening to this podcast. The first question should be, what problem am I obsessed with solving? And then the second question should be, who is that person that energizes? Who is the customer? What do they look like? What do they feel like? What is that ideal customer that energizes me, that I get so excited to work with? So it's like, what does that Christmas morning client look like, feel like? So beyond the targeting, how do you want to feel when you engage with that client? I would love if people could sit with that and brainstorm and sort of, you know, get into the mindset of manifesting those ideal clients and that feeling.
Mm-hmm. I love it. And the second question for you is, what are you most excited about for the summit?
I am so excited to see you, first of all, but I am so excited to just, I think that the beginning stage of starting your business, launching it that first year is one of the most, not to be cheesy, but like one of the most magical times in your life. I mean, it practically like puts me in tears thinking about it for other people. Like I get so excited when I'm talking to someone who's making this leap or thinking about making a leap and they're like almost there. It is, you know, for those that are struggling, like right on that point and are like holding themselves back a bit, entrepreneurship and being self-employed is a better quality of life all around. And so it's just such a magical thing that I'm just so excited to be in a room full of that energy for a day and a half or that weekend. And just, you know, to be around that selfishly for my own sake, like I want that energy. Right. And I'm just so excited to bounce that energy back to all the attendees as well. So, I mean, I'm so excited, Amanda. It's going to be fantastic.
Yay. I just got the really excited feeling in my gut that I'm like, you know, when you get that really excited in your belly, like you're going on a really exciting vacation coming up. That is the feeling I got. Well, thank you for your time and energy, Shauna, for chit-chatting with me and sharing with the listeners what they have to look forward to at the summit for those attending. Definitely make sure you guys head on over to shedidherwaypodcast.com/summit to snag your tickets, and I hope to see y'all there.
Thanks for tuning in to the She Did It Her Way podcast. Did you like this episode? Head on over to iTunes.com to leave us a rating and a review. We would love to hear from you. And don't forget to check out shedidherwaypodcast.com, where you can subscribe to our email list so you can receive the inside scoop on our latest episode released each Monday. Now, do us a favor and go make it a great week.